I'm sitting today. I just am coming out of, I'm still in recovery from some surgery. So thanks for letting me just chill a little bit. But I actually feel like the word the Lord has given me this morning is around the word breakthrough. And you know, when we hear that word breakthrough, there's a lot of different things that can come to our minds, different definitions of what we think breakthrough is. You know, a spiritual breakthrough usually is a suddenly of encountering God in a life-changing way. Whether it's breaking through something that's difficult or breaking through and encountering God, having victory over an area. But I know growing up in the church, we write songs about it, we pray prayers, we hear that word, and it might have different thoughts in our mind. But I just feel like the Lord is, he's saying we're entering into a season of greater breakthrough. And in 2 Samuel 5, it talks about the Lord of the breakthrough. And this is the story where David and his men are in the valley of Rapha, a valley of giants. And they find themselves in this valley, and the Philistines are coming around David to try to kill him. And it says in verse 19 that David inquired of the Lord. This part is so important. He inquired of the Lord, "Shall I go up against the Philistines? Will you give them into my hand?" And the Lord said to David, "Go up, for I will certainly give the Philistines into your hand." So David came to Bel Perazim and defeated them. And he said, "The Lord has broken through my enemies before me like the breakthrough of waters." Therefore, he named that place Bel Perazim. Now the Philistines came up once again to overrun the valley. So David inquired of the Lord again. And he said, "Shall we go up directly, circle around?" And the Lord said, "Go up directly and circle around them behind them and come to the front. And it shall be when you hear the sound of marching in the tops of the shrubs, then you shall act promptly, for then the Lord will have gone before you to strike the enemy of the Philistines." And David did so, just as the Lord commanded him, and struck and killed the Philistines. So one of the names of God is God of the breakthrough. We love that. I mean, how many of you love breakthrough? For sure. But what stands out to me in this scripture is that David is in a valley. What does that mean? He's in a low place. And it says, then he inquired of the Lord. But see, in order to defeat the enemy, he had to go up to defeat the enemy. He had to obey God into the smallest of details. The first time, the Lord gives him instruction on how to defeat the enemy. But the second time, he says, "Let me do it." And it's in a supernatural event that literally the God went before him and took out the enemy. Breakthrough in its most simple form is when heaven comes to earth. When we talk about spiritual breakthrough, in its simplest form, what is it? It's when heaven invades earth. Breakthrough doesn't always look the same. Moves of God don't always look the same. When God breaks through in different areas of our life in one season, it can look so different than the last season. Sometimes breakthrough looks like peace. Right now, there's these moves of God. I mean, some of you have heard about an outpouring that happened a few months back where a younger generation is in this college campus, and many of my friends went to see what God was doing. And one of the greatest breakthroughs they talked about, they said there was a peace that passed understanding, and Gen Z was encountering the peace of God like they had never had before because of what they just lived through. Breakthrough looked like peace. Sometimes breakthrough looks like healing, and sometimes it looks like deliverance, and there's many forms of what it can look like. So we have different seasons in our life in God. We have different seasons in the moves of God. What breakthrough looked like in the last season often looks different than next. But if we become fixated on what it looked like before instead of actually inquiring of the Lord and moving in obedience according to his word, what he speaks, we're going to miss the very breakthrough that he wants to bring us. When we're looking for what he did before, which is awesome, but what if he wants to do it different? God is unchanging in his character and his nature, but I can tell you he flips the script every time because he's going to get the glory. And if we could predict what he did, even the prophetic can't predict all the things that God does because there's an element of faith. And what is he going to come look for? Those who figured it out or those who had faith? those who knew how the story was exactly going to go, or those, he says, will he come and find faith on the earth? There's a season in my life, many years ago, where I was learning about the gifts of God in my life, and I experienced such a move of God all around me. So much of that season was right here in Alaska. I mean, I could remember so many parts like it was yesterday. It was one of the most life-changing, special seasons that formed who I am today. I can trace back to a season where it felt like every moment I was on the edge of my seat, and at any moment he might come. I remember being terrified by the presence of God, and it's like you couldn't get to church quick enough. You couldn't get to the front row fast enough. At any moment, you're like, what might he do? Man, I loved that season where I had so many encounters. I remember I'd go weeks without sleeping very much because God would wake me up in the middle of the night and speak to me things that literally like imprinted on who I was. So personal and so deep. And I lived in that constant state of expectation of encountering him, and it was such a marking. But you know what? I also had a season of breaking where God was teaching me about identity and friendship in him, and a deep breaking and a deep discipline that would again mark my life forever. He dealt with selfish ambition and insecurity and pride and false identity and putting my identity in my calling. Seasons of breaking. I've had seasons of maturity where I didn't feel anything. I didn't feel the presence like I did before. And he was teaching me how to speak and communicate because of what he was calling me to do in the nations of the earth. He was teaching me how to still walk in power without it being overly charismatic in some situations because who I would stand before and how he could break through in ways that weren't always looked the same. Teaching me how to unify the body of Christ and carry bigger vision. He was working on my character and my nature to reflect him, and he was calling me to carry a greater capacity. I didn't feel a whole lot in that season. He wanted me to understand his love for me was not based on feeling, but it was actually knowing his character and his nature, that his love for me was not based on a manifestation of his spirit or his power, but it was actually through his shed blood. And if I never felt anything again and didn't change who he was, did I actually really know it? And he didn't want me to be confused that his love was based on my gifting or the favor that I was walking in. I've had seasons like that. In the same way God moves in different ways in our own personal life, he does in history. With each move, with each revival, with each thing, you know what he actually does? He emphasizes a part of his character and his nature. I study revival, I think a lot of us probably do. Healing movements, fathering movements, outpourings of the Holy Spirit, authority of scripture, many things that he emphasizes, all a part of his kingdom, all a part of his character and his nature. You know, there's been past revivals and moves of God where there's these unique things that he did. I mean, like crazy unique manifestations. Okay, I travel all over the world, and some of the craziest things I've ever seen still to this day were in the villages of Alaska. Some of the wildest manifestations of the Spirit were actually out at camp. I mean, stuff crazy right here. He demonstrates his power and his glory with outpourings that resulted in dramatic healings and the miraculous. God's presence, we hear these stories of God's presence actually filling rooms where the walls began to literally physically shake. Heaven is revival. Where the glory would hit a room so hard that the walls would shake and dishes would begin to fall off the wall. Not kidding. I know people that were around then. And that's the glory of God. We're miles down the road. The presence of God would hit people where they would run into police stations and confess their sins and fall to their knees, not knowing what was going on, but the sheer manifest presence of God. Haven't heard anything like that in a while. Where clouds of glory manifested in rooms where, like right now, if a cloud appeared, stories like that, where he would move with joy, where people would laugh uncontrollably, gold dust covering people and everything around them. People so overcome by the manifest presence of God that their bodies reacted in the most crazy physical manifestations Yeah, I've seen some things with some of you, Tanner. on these different accounts, they're always sovereign. Listen, I mean, I don't know about you, but some of you haven't stopped praying as much as you did when we saw those moves of God. Was it us that brought it, or was it sovereign? I propose it's both. But I can't make God do that. I can't make God make a cloud in the room or gold dust on people, or I can't make the wall shake. There's a level of sovereignty when he moves that we respond to it. It's a season and a time and a purpose. I believe the Lord is preparing us for an increase of his power, an increase of his glory, and an increase of his manifest presence that will result in signs and wonders. I believe we'll see an increase of healings and an increase of salvation and an increase of freedom and deliverance. Actually, we are seeing an increase of it in many places right now. The stories that we are hearing actually on a pretty frequent basis is the blind see, the deaf hear, the lame walk, the dead are raised. It's happening on a daily basis all over. For real. And if you didn't know that, you gotta get out more. And I believe we're gonna see an increase in all these areas because we must. We have to. It's the desire of God's heart, and we can't stop going after it. We can't stop going after healing because at any moment, heaven breaks in. We can't stop going after the preaching of the gospel with power and seeing breakthrough and healing and deliverance. We can't stop going after it. But I believe that God is preparing us for an increase of his power and his presence for the purpose of faith, of the multiplication, of innovation, and of transformation. Listen, we go places where revival has hit, but the nation's not fully transformed. Actually, we were talking to Lauren Cunningham, and he said, if you study revival history, the only nations that have been transformed by revival is if the Bible went before it or came right after it. The only place that brings transformation is the outpouring of the Spirit with the authority of Scripture is actually what transforms nations. And we've seen outpourings where either the Scripture wasn't there before or somebody didn't come in with after it and it didn't actually result into transformation. But where you see transformation is when the Word and the Spirit come together. So from the foundation of the Word of God and prayer, intimacy with Jesus, preaching of the gospel to the ends of the earth, we need to see a multiplication of that. And I know this house believes that with everything in them. So repentance is the overflow and the walking out of the fear of the Lord. And this is this place of the fear of the Lord. Listen, I believe that the fear of the Lord and what I'm talking about go hand in hand. That when we walk in the true, like, he is holy, he is God, he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and his voice and his word go above every other thing. And I don't have the right to my own opinion, because when I became a Christian, I became a follower of Jesus, and I said, my life is no longer my own. And I always tease you when I'm here. I'm from here. Remember, I'm fifth generation Alaskan, okay? For real. But it's, you know, that when we get to heaven, he's not gonna be like, you're Alaskan. You could be over-opinionated. No. He's gonna say, yeah, I thought you're a kingdom. So the kingdom rules go above, doesn't matter what nation you're a part of. You are part of the kingdom before you're an American. You're part of the kingdom before you're an Alaskan American. Okay, and I would say this in any place that I go. He's not gonna let you get a pass. You had the freedom of speech. And you used it outside of the fear of the Lord. Nope. I'll stand before him for every word that comes out of my mouth. Uh-oh. So the doors of opportunity for the advancement of the kingdom in every sphere, in every nation, we want to see that happen. We want to see the increase of power. But listen, we're in a different season on the earth right now. I don't know if you've noticed, but never been here before. Now, I know there's nothing new under the sun, and there's been dark times in human history before. But it feels pretty wild right now. We're in a full-on run to the finish line, though. Yeah. I mean, for real. We're really close for every single language in the world to have a portion of Scripture. It'll happen in the next couple years. My friend Andy, he says, you realize that most of you in here, you're going to be alive. He says, think about it like a real day. He made it up and he said, well, but what, let's just say like April 14th. On this day, there's going to be a real day when all of heaven stops. And in that moment, you realize that every single language on earth, and for the first time in all of human history, will have a portion of scripture in their own language. Most of you are going to be alive for that. That's never happened before. Every single tribe and tongue to hear the good news of the gospel of Jesus, we're going to be there. It's not like in the next couple hundred years. No, we're talking about in the next few years. So when we see an increase of the presence of God, most of the time there's some sort of manifestation of the Holy Spirit. But the manifestation of the Holy Spirit taking place is meant to transform our lives, not to just touch our flesh. How can I stand here with you and not be moved by you? Listen, the older I get, the more I'm like, I don't want a flesh encounter. I want the transforming kingdom advancement. I only get to do this one, you know, one life to live. Let's do it. You know, in Acts 2, we see this account on the day of Pentecost where Peter comes out of the upper room and he's completely transformed with boldness and power. And you look at the life of Peter before he went in and you look at the life of Peter after he came out. I had the awesome privilege of actually leading a devotion in the upper room in Israel this year. Messed me up just thinking, because I've been preaching on the infilling of the Holy Spirit all over the world within Youth with a Mission primarily, and I actually got to stand in the very upper room and lead this devotion. I'm like, wow, this is really where it happened. And Peter went in that room and he didn't come out the same. Before that day, Peter was wild and he was immature and he was walking out things. He was so bold that he actually rebuked Jesus about going to the cross. He cuts the soldier's ear off. He fails Jesus in the garden. He denies even knowing him and he uses cuss words while doing it. He loved Jesus the whole time that he did that. He rested his head on his chest. Because I'm fifth generation commercial fisherman. We don't cuddle. Peter rested his head on Jesus' chest. And after Jesus is resurrected, Peter sits with him on the beach and Jesus is asking him, Peter, do you really love me? And he's telling the Lord how much he did. Then we see on the day of Pentecost though, when Peter comes out, he had an encounter in the upper room and he begins to preach with boldness and authority, not from a place of pride, but from a place of encounter with the Spirit of God, the result of multiplication and transformation. If you truly have an encounter with the Holy Spirit, this is what should happen. Peter was so completely filled with the Holy Spirit and divine wisdom that the Spirit led him to write two epistles, which later became a part of the Bible. The life of Peter that he lives after the day of Pentecost is absolutely astounding. He lives in a constant fear of the Lord, preaching the good news and the holiness of God. I believe the Lord's desire is to come in a greater measure, like I've been talking about, and break through power. But in order to do that, I believe that he's calling us to walk in the greater fear of the Lord. I believe in this next season, one of the greatest markings will be that the Christians walked in the fear of the Lord and in holiness. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding, Proverbs 9:10. This wisdom does not come from ourselves, you guys. It comes from knowing God, the Holy One. There's something that's counterintuitive to this, because in your natural way, what do you want to do? You want to lean into your strengths. You want to lean into what makes sense. You want to lean into your own understanding, but it's counterintuitive in the kingdom. He says, lean not into your own understanding. And he always uses the weakness. Yes, listen, we've been just talking since we've been here about personality types. It's helped me understand how I'm wired, but there's a part of me that's undefinable. There's a part of me that confounds the wise. There's a part of me that no test could ever really determine, because he wants to receive glory from my life, so he's going to turn it upside down, because he always does. I said, who is this coming out of Southeast Alaska? It doesn't make any sense how he uses me the way he does. If it made sense, then would he really get the glory from my life? It's the honor and the praise that is continually comes from our life. Don't lean into your own understanding, but in dependency on Jesus, the awareness of all that he is. Listen, I don't have time to unpack the fear of the Lord, but the fear of the Lord is not being scared of God. That's what people think, oh, what is that? He never know. I might do something wrong. He might just strike me down. That's not the fear of the Lord. The person who is scared of God has something to hide. Adam hid from God because he had something to hide, which I never quite understand, you know? I might be known for the prophetic, and people are always like, what if she sees? I'm like, I'm Amy. You know he's all-seeing, right? If you're worried about what I see, we have way bigger problems. He's all-seeing and knowing, and if you're not more worried about what he sees than what I see, something's mixed up. The fear of the Lord is actually the starting place of intimately knowing God. Those who fear him have nothing to hide. The fear of the Lord is actually inquiring of the Lord and obeying what he says. God's love for us is so great that we actually cannot fully comprehend the heights, the depths of his love. I mean, he really loves us. I love talking about the love of God. He really, really loves us. But you know what? He hates sin. I mean, hates it. He doesn't just dislike it. He actually hates it, but he loves us. He hates when we sin, but he loves us. This is why repentance is such a gift. We can actually be joyful about repentance because he loves us so much that he wants us to have this right relationship with him, that he gave us this gift called repentance because he shed his blood, that we actually are forgiven. And when we repent and the blood of Jesus cleansing us, you know what it does? It brings us right back into right relationship with him. What a loving God. What a joyful thing to have this gift. So he hates rebellion. I mean, hates it. And he hates disobedience. He hates when we're lukewarm, but he loves us. Because he loves us, that's why we go, man, I need to walk in this place of the fear of the Lord and holiness. So guess freedom is not, oh, grace will cover it. Freedom is actually going, I'm no longer bound to sin. That's what freedom is. Freedom isn't I get to do what I want and God's gonna cover it. Freedom is actually saying the world has no hold on me. I've been set free. Freedom is going, I'm not bound to sin anymore, which God hates. Why would I wanna be bound to something he hates? We will know this when we actually walk in the fear of the Lord. He hates lying. He hates lust and pride. He hates self-hatred. Self-hatred is not humility, it's sin. He hates apathy and gluttony and compromise of any kind because he's God and he's holy. So why do we obey him? Because we love him. The fear of the Lord is being terrified of being away from God. It's like, God, I don't want anything between you and me. I don't want anything to separate it. It means that I honor you, I respect you, I stand in awe of who you are, and you are the king of the universe. When we walk in the fear of the Lord, we take on his heart and we care about what he cares about and we hate what he hates. Listen, I work with youth. I'm part of Youth with a Mission. I work with all ages. People will come and talk to me about what's going on in their life and how they're struggling with some sin. And they're like, I hate it that I struggle with this sin. I'm like, no, you don't. Look, you know, I hate it. I don't think so. If you hated it, you wouldn't do it. I think you kind of like how it makes you feel in the moment. Let's just be real for a second. You don't hate it. Who does what they hate? It's not even your nature to do something that you hate. I get what addiction is and their strongholds. That's real. But most of us don't actually hate our sin. We tolerate it. But we got to begin to go, God, give me a hatred for this sin in my life. Make me disgusted and hate the sin, not myself. It's because I love you. We hate what he hates and we love what he loves. But here's the thing, he loves all people, so we love all people. We were just talking about it at the announcements. We love the LGBT community. We can say that because he loves them. We don't love sin, but we love people because he loves people. And he loves all political party people. He loves them. And guess what? You're never going to change anything you hate. As far as people, when you carry his heart, he gives you authority to begin to shift and change things. You want to be an intercessor? You better love what he loves and who he loves. Ooh, I can feel that one. We carry the passion of God and we're consumed with him and afraid of being away from him because we love him. Isaiah 66:2, it says, these are the ones I look on with favor, those who are humble and contrite in spirit and tremble at my word. When's the last time you trembled at his word? What does that mean? It means the fear of the Lord. What you say is above every other thing. It means we obey his word. It means we obey him instantly. We obey him even when it doesn't make sense. We obey him even when it hurts. We obey him when we don't see the benefit of it. We obey him until it's done. We obey him because we love him. Would God tell you to do something that is going to fail? Yes, he would. Why? Because it was never about it succeeding. It was about your obedience and the transformation that takes place from failure. How can God ever give you a breakthrough when you can't handle things not working out the way you don't want them to? He does it all the time. Would God give you a business that he knew would never succeed? He would. Would he have you start a ministry that's never going to succeed? Yeah, he would. He doesn't speak to give you what you want. He speaks to transform you into his likeness. And so much of the prophetic is not about a destination. It's about the transformation. I don't know about you, but I don't want to get to heaven and be like, I saw all these things happen. No, I want to him look at me and I want to look like him. And we learn in failure. It doesn't change the character or nature of God. He's still good even when it doesn't work out the way we think. So maybe breakthrough is different than what you think. Breakthrough to me is me looking more like him. Breakthrough to me is knowing that he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and that my joy doesn't get stolen because things don't work out the way that I want them to, which I confess happens to me more often than I would like. Because here's the thing, is joy is not an emotion. It's actually a fruit of the Spirit. That's why he says, count all joy when you encounter trials. You know, I have found the more I understand the love of God and his desire, the more I want to be with him. The more I understand that his love for me, the more I desire holiness. The more I understand holiness, his majesty and his power, it changes who I am. Listen, I'm married. I like to cook. I like to give my husband gifts. I like to do things. Why? Not because I'm afraid if I don't, he won't love me. Not because I'm afraid he's going to be mad at me. I do them because I love him. Why do we do these things for God? Because we love him. Love will always be the greatest motivation of obedience. There are literally hundreds of times the Bible speaks on this. Listen, I know that many of you in the room already walk in the level of the fear of the Lord, and there's an increase, and you want to host the presence, and I'm proud of you. I come here and I'm like, I'm proud of you. Gabe, I'm so proud of you right now. As I sat here this morning, something began to happen to me where I'm like, I see it. The youth movement, it's in the room. And there's a mantle on your shoulders. And it's not because somebody else didn't do it. It's because you were called to do it. In April, I haven't seen this in a while. You're meant to lead a Gen Z, Gen Alpha youth movement. It's time that Alaska sees this happen, and it's on you. And I heard the Lord say, don't be weary with well-doing. And as I'm doing worship, I saw a picture for you where I just saw the breakthrough coming on you, a breakthrough of faith. And I felt like the Lord said there's a supernatural releasing of a weariness that's come on you that's directly an attack of the enemy. Run your race with endurance. He's going to give you the grace to do this. And you're not interim. You're totally the guy. And I know you've been the guy, but I'm just saying even more so. I don't know what you're dialogue with God has been, but I just feel like the Lord is honoring you and saying, let's do it again. Heaven is for you. Breakthrough. I believe there's an increase of the presence of the Lord, an increase again of pure discernment and understanding. Here's the thing is that when we have mixture in our lives, we can't purely discern. And mixture can come from judgment. One of the weaknesses of Alaskans is we can become judgmental towards a whole lot of things. It's one thing to go, that is wrong, and there's discernment, that is wrong. It's, you know, like we do that, we're meant to do that. But then there's a place where we get bitter, we get hard, we get jaded, and we can no longer actually discern rightly. You have to carry the heart of God. It's not your job to judge, it's your job to love, and it's your job to have discernment, and it's your job to pray. And God has us fight for things that we need to fight for, but not in our own strength and our own understanding. There's lots of things that I want to go fight for, but I don't have permission from him to do it. It's not my assignment. Though I sure am a champion of those that have that assignment. But sometimes we take on assignments that he never gave us. We don't have the grace to do it, and we're not going to bear fruit because we're not actually in the obedience of God, though it's still good. That's why the pure discernment is, Lord, let there be no judgment in me. You are the king. You are the judge. I want to come into your heart and have the courage and strength in your obedience. Tanner, will you jump back up here? I'm just going to close with this. Hear me this morning. You're entering into a new season, a breakthrough. But isn't going to look like it did before. Sorry. I know some of you have been really hoping. We had some good runs, man. I was here for some of them. But don't look to the past, even though look for it for inspiration and faith and courage, all of that. But reach forward for what's ahead. Transformation. North Gate is called to transformation. You've had revival, and you will again, but revival comes and goes. It's sovereign. But transformation is you coming into full agreement with God. You partner with him to advance and build the kingdom. What does North Gate, Alaska exist here in the valley for? I believe, yes, it's revival, reformation, but it's there's the transformation anointing on you now. It's on you now. And part of it has a whole lot to do with this alignment. It has a whole lot to do with the fear of the Lord and walking in that place of him being the Lord of your life. Listen, some of you know him in many different aspects of his character and nature, but to really see transformation is going to require the greatest discernment you've ever walked in. And that comes from having a pure flow. Hate the sin. Some of you, it's time to get free. But ask God, it's like, well, yeah, prayer times are great. But ask him, I want to hate this sin. So that I don't want to have anything between me and you. I want to understand the love of God that you have for me and for other people. Don't lead me up from this place unless your presence goes with me. Listen, we don't need another humanitarian movement. We need a transformation movement with which is power. That's the difference, is we still do things like cut down trees and serve in our local community. But without the transformation power that comes from the supernatural part of who God is, it's just another humanitarian movement, which is not what you're called to. What's the difference? How will they distinguish you from any other people on the planet? The love. The holiness. I want to call us to attention this morning to walk in that greater fear of the Lord and the greater inquiring of the Lord. Some of you are brilliant and you're not inquiring of the Lord. You're leaning into your own understanding. And if you're not careful, you're about to make a decision that's going to lead you in the wrong direction. Don't lean into your own understanding. Check first if it's him. And it very well might be. But if you don't have the habit of inquiring of the Lord, you'll miss the moment that he says, go up, fight. And the moment that he's on the tops of the bushes where you hear the army, the God of the angel armies going before and defeating your enemy. And you'll miss the second round. From the foundation of knowing that you are wildly loved by God. When the Holy Spirit comes with his power, everything changes. I want to call you this morning to that greater fear of the Lord and inquiring of the Lord. And I want to also call you to a fresh faith of encountering God in the area of breakthrough. This is my question to you, is to spend this next week saying, God, what does breakthrough look like for me in this season? For Philip and I, we're in a transition. Never thought I'd be here. I thought I'd live in Kona for the rest of my life. Then the suddenlies of God come again. What does it look like for us? It looks like actually building a trade school that brings transformation to nations. It looks like many different things. In the last season, what breakthrough looked like for us was our marriage. Our marriage is in the best place that it's ever been. We're locked in and partners like we could never be. And thank God, because he surely couldn't have called us to do what we're about to do now if we wouldn't have walked in the level of unity and agreement that we're walking in now. So the last season looked like that. What does it look like for you? Don't assume. Inquire of the Lord. I'm telling you, transformation is the destination that he's calling this house to, always with revival throughout every part. So Holy Spirit, I thank you for this house, this family, this, I thank you for the valley. Lord, I think that some of my favorite seasons I've ever had were right here in this place. I know that there's an encounter inheritance that's always been here. But who is this coming up out of the wilderness, leaning on their beloved? Holy Spirit, I pray that you would come on each one and break assumption, the sin of assumption of thinking that I know what God is saying and doing without actually asking him. And I pray, Lord, they would inquire of you. Inquire of you. I lay down my judgment. I lay down my fear. And I draw near. Breakthrough. It's you, breakthrough is you. A breakthrough of power, a breakthrough of love. Breakthrough is you. And I draw near. I want to hear. I want to hear. Breakthrough. Breakthrough. Breakthrough is you. I lean not on my own understanding. But I press in again to hear your voice. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit, release the fear of the Lord. There's some men in here the Lord wants you to know that if you ask him for a hatred towards sin, he'll give it to you. And you will walk in a freedom that you wondered if it was possible, but I'm telling you today that it is. He loves you, he loves you. Thank you, Lord. Father, right now, I just prophesy a grace Lord, a grace over this house, a grace for every person, a grace for this youth movement. Father, I declare that this will be a youth movement marked by holiness. Lord, I've been where we've encountered you in many ways, but God, I pray right now over Gabe and April and the youth, people that are called to this movement, God, that this will be marked by humility and holiness and the fear of the Lord, that what the world has said about this generation, Lord, that they would say, only God could have done this. Do it, God. We love you, Jesus. Tanner, just end this in a little moment.
Lord, prepare me
yeah.
to be a sanctuary.